With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, we're back.
You know what I love is that I just include that stuff now in the beginning of the podcast.
Why not? It humanizes us.
It does. I think that's important.
So people can relate. They'll just think we're up there on a pedestal, just amazing all the time.
Perfection, 24/7.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
That's typically how
I'm seeing. You need to know that sometimes we let it down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't keep that up.
We are real people. Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode.
Talking about Tommy Fleetwood, PGA golfer, who this past weekend, at the age of 34, he had gone 12 years and 163 PGA Tour events without winning. And since 83... when they started counting this, apparently he had 30 top five finishes, which is the most top five finishes in that stretch without winning.
You said since 83?
Yeah.
So since before he was born?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like...
So they started counting...
Got it. Understood.
The statistic. And he pulled it out this past weekend, winning the PGA Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup title. And $10 million, nothing to sneeze at there.
No.
And he had won on like European Tour. He'd done really, really well in Ryder Cup events, but this was his first PGA Tour title. And it was interesting because day of, you know, the last round, you know, LeBron James and Tiger Woods and Caitlin Clark were all like tweeting, like, he's very well liked as a person on the tour. So got a lot of people cheering for him to get this done. It was pretty cool. So there was some things he said that I thought were really...
I'm staring at two of them right now.
Excellent. And so which is the first one?
Well, I mean, it's sort of two in the same sentence, but never fear failure, never be afraid of putting yourself in those positions again. And I didn't even read the part that came before that, but, well, not in this very moment anyway. I think that is such a recurring but not considered theme in sports, which is every time you go out and compete, you're putting yourself in a position to lose.
Yep.
Or to win. We go out there with the mindset of I'm going to win, but you're taking a risk, putting yourself in that position to possibly lose. And I think that is the, you know, we talk about like fear of failure. Some people have a fear of success.
Yes.
Or a fear of succeeding and then having to maintain that level of success. Yep. I think there's so many like levels of this. But the reality is there's a significant amount of bravery in going out and doing it over and over and over again, especially someone who has failed time and time again, which, I mean, I think any true athlete, spectator, or just athlete themselves wouldn't look at his, call him a failure. But to him, it was didn't make it, but you keep going anyway. And that applies to a lot of things in life, not just sports. But I think we don't always consider what it means for those athletes to keep coming back time and time again, either to take the title again because they've had it before, or to just take another stab at it and hope it happens this time.
Yeah. That willingness to put yourself in the arena, you know, like Teddy Roosevelt's very famous quote about that. That's where the courage, that's where the credit goes to the person in the arena. And so to keep doing it, you know, 163 times before this on the PGA Tour and not winning, but he keeps showing up and keeps playing to win. It's not like on the last day, this is when I choke. You know, that's not, and it's easy. You know, he referenced, you know, poor self-talk in an interview he had over a year ago, where he wasn't always like his own best friend saying the best things to himself. And, you know, we talk about that all the time, about the one coach you'll always have, that voice in your head from birth to death, where you want to have that voice be a helpful one that's productive. But it's, if you're not aware of that and you don't train that voice, well, then your goose is cooked, man.
Well, I think more importantly, or equally as important, is, you know, we're talking, and this is always the case with us, but we're talking right now about an athlete pursuing wins in the sport. But that showing up can apply to anything. It can show up to relationships. It can show up to jobs. Yep. If you think you're not at a point in your career where you should be, or wish you were at this point, like, it doesn't mean that you're not going to get there. Doesn't mean you shouldn't keep showing up. But I think the moment we say, oh, well, it hasn't happened for me yet, so I guess it's just not going to. Like, is that how you want to control your story? Or do we still have a heck of a lot of life left to live? And why not keep on trying? I think that goes for, I was talking with someone the other day about just like success in business or success in general. And sometimes we fear it. We fear something being too successful because you put so much into it. And it's not that you don't want to be successful, but you tend to fear like, well, what if it doesn't work? But then you go to, well, what if it does? And then what's it going to take for me to maintain that and not, okay, you know, it's like, I think it's another version of fear of failure, because I think you either fear you're going to fail right away and you're never going to get to the success, or you're afraid that you're going to succeed and then need to maintain that so that you don't fail in 5 years. And people are like, oh, well, they had a nice little run, but it didn't last. So again, not just sports, but anything, relationships, it's like, just keep showing up for yourself, man.
When both of those words, fear of failure, fear of success, they heavily involve a fear of what other people will think or expect. So if it's fear of failure, you know, you're, don't want to look stupid, you're making a lot of mistakes, you know, want people to think you're not any good at whatever it is you're doing. And then if you happen to succeed, you know, win or whatever, then it's, now I have to stay here. Like, people won't take me seriously if I don't win again. And so it all revolves around other people's perceptions. That's a, you know, one of my favorite Marcus Aurelius quotes has to do with other people's perceptions, but also our own perceptions about how we think
and judge ourselves,
and how we think what other people are thinking about us, you know?
Right.
Most of the time it's not, but even if they are thinking things about us that kind of reduce us to just a one-dimensional character, that's not accurate, and none of us are that, and we shouldn't cede power like that to other people and let them make us feel like we're one-dimensional.
Well, I think especially, it's one thing, I think there's two versions of other people's thoughts, right? There's what you think other people are thinking but have never actually said to you.
Yep.
And then there's actual comments that people have said, and you take them right. for what they are, right? I don't remember where I saw this recently, but I liked the way that it was phrased, which was, you are not the writer of your thoughts, you're the observer of them. And I think just being able to like separate that your thoughts are going to, you can't control what comes. You can control how right. you respond to it, yep. and you can help getting redundant here, but train your thoughts and train how to think. Like, you don't always say you don't want to leave your thoughts to chance, but your thoughts are going to be your thoughts. And so when it comes to, with the amount of time we spend worrying what other people might be thinking of us, is such wasted energy and Amen. Causes anxiety and sweating and stuttering and stumbling, and you're going to be way more inclined to probably fail that thing you don't want to fail at in the first place because of all of those physical, visceral reactions to something that is not actually even happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
really well said.
I appreciate that. So I think that's just one of those things that you're going to always have your inner critic, which is just yourself criticizing yourself on a regular basis, which is just kind of human nature. We can do our best to, you know, retrain and rewire, which I firmly believe you can. But it's those external things that we need to learn how to deflect and protect from.
Yes, that was muy good-o. Couple of things he talks about in here as well. By the way, this is from another article on The Athletic in their peak section. I didn't talk to myself particularly great all the time. So to help with this, he tries to think about the bigger picture. Everyone has bad shots or disappointing moments, but it's comforting to him to focus only on the shot in front of him. Bingo for something like that before. Hit every shot to the best of your ability, he said, and then figure it out afterward. That gives me clarity. And that's how he's managed to kind of keep plugging away, too. Like, the disappointing finish, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But he shows up again.
Keeps showing up. Yeah.
You know, with full intention to, like, leave it all out there and go for it. And, you know, that speaks to the courage that you mentioned earlier. But I think one reason why he had so many people rooting for him, and he talked about this, quoting his dad, good person first, try to be a good golfer second. I've always tried to be that. And, you know, I think in terms of a larger perspective on things, like we talk about all the time, about your personhood and being the best person you can be. And then, you know, this other stuff
kind of falls
into place. But that's the reason why you had other golfers so happy for him.
Yeah.
Because of how he carries himself and how he treats other people and the perspective he has on all of this.
Yeah, I think that chipping away and showing up for yourself is, like he says, every shot. So that's the golf version, right? But showing up for ourselves, I think a lot of us, we haven't really been raised or trained to focus on ourselves. It's always, don't ruffle the feathers, don't make somebody, you know, it's kind of a people pleaser world sometimes, which, I mean, there's a time and a place, I think, for some of that. But to not show up for yourself regularly, and to keep chipping away. Like, it's not going to be this big, earth-shattering, life-changing turnaround in a day kind of deal with any of this, whether it's trying to change your mindset, trying to change your thinking, having better self-talk, getting better at a sport with a physical skill. Like, nothing is going to just happen tomorrow. But tomorrow, you can start the small thing. And then the next day, you can do that small thing again. And that's just where, like, that chipping away, I think when we're in a place, like, it would be very easy for him to say, well, like, I haven't won yet. And you know what? I've put a lot of work and I just don't think it's going to happen, and hang it up. But every time he shows up, every hole, every tournament, every practice swing, everything is like one little building block to then ultimately what he got this past weekend. And you would never look back and say, I wish I hadn't done that. But you might look back and say, man, I wish I hadn't given up, because I clearly had more to give.
Yeah. And I think too, none of these successes or wins in and of themselves are enough. Now, we've talked about that before. But I think being in love with, you know, the whole journey, and, you know, I was reading Bob Rotella's book, How Champions Think Again, and there's a quote in there by Tom Watson about loving golf. And you have to love golf, not just like when every putt's dropping and every swing is a great one and every drive lands in the middle of the fairway. But you have to love golf like when nothing's going right and it's a struggle.
And you still want to keep doing it anyway.
Yeah. And that's where, like, being in love with the process, that's what that really looks like.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't just love whatever it is you're doing if you only love it when,
well, including yourself,
everything's great. Like, yeah. That, well, no kidding, anybody would love it then.
Yeah.
But that's where loving being tested and challenged and overcoming, and that's the stuff that keeps you going from day to day.
Yep.
Like you were just talking about. And then, you know, all of this has to be in pursuit of some overarching purpose that transcends ourself. And whether it's setting an example for others to follow in terms of how to persevere, or how you can connect with others, there's a million ways to go about that. But I loved the end. He said, I've been a PGA Tour winner for a long time. It's just always been in my mind. And I think that's also, like, really important.
Yeah.
To have that and create that vision of yourself becoming what you're setting out to become.
Well, I think everybody listening to this probably knows that you're a very avid reader and you like to study people who are successful. And I think that's one of those, like, that to me, that's part of that visionary forward thinking, is like, if you want to be a PGA golf winner, you got to do the things that those PGA golf winners are doing in order to get there. And so to give yourself a freaking chance.
Yep.
If you want to be a successful CEO one day, study successful CEOs and figure out what they're doing. If you want to be someone who's mentally tough, study people who are mentally tough and what they're doing. And don't just study it, do it also. But I think that's one of those, like, I love that that's how they ended the article, because that is inspiring, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of reminds you to stay on track. Like, that to me tells me that at no point was he like, oh, I guess I'm just going to be, you know, I'll keep taking 20th and I'll keep not placing and I'll keep taking this and this will be my career. It was, okay, here's where I landed this week. Next time, I'm going to be the winner again. Like, that's the mentality you have to maintain if at some point you want it to actually happen.
Well, otherwise, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to believe that you can eventually one day pull it off, then why do you keep showing up?
Like, yep.
So I don't want to do anything like that.
Yeah.
That's just not, but that's not like, that doesn't come naturally. Like, I wouldn't naturally like that. At all. Like,
no.
Probably the opposite. I think that's, whatever it is you're doing, you know, keep running to it, man. Just keep running to it. So I loved that in his mind he was always,
yeah,
just super cool. Yeah, he's he's awesome. Like
when you hear stuff like that, and like that's why people like him, right? Yeah. I mean, there's and also further too, he wasn't the Tiger Woods winning everything. He was just somebody who wasn't always winning, and people like him nonetheless. So I think it's just that, like, that, you know, I've said on here, like, I always like people who I can just say they're good people. That's how I perceive that people, you know, in that world kind of view him. And that's something Definitely. That people, it's like people love the underdog. People love the Cinderella story. People love guys like that who they're like, you know what, he's not a winner all the time, but he's a great guy and we love him. And that to me, I think even just being the type of person, I don't doubt either that his support system, because of who he was, helped him to get that win in the end also.
For sure. I've heard him talk about that in other interviews. But that's, you know, the caliber of his personhood drove everything. Yeah. So, I mean, if he was always like making excuses or, you know, throwing his clubs into the pond, you know, then maybe fewer people would be
rooting for him. Yeah, for sure.
LeBron James might not be tweeting about him, but that's not who he was.
Yeah.
And so people admire him and respect him. And it was just a heck of a story. I thought it was very inspiring, very meaningful.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.